Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and Marvellous... he hates me doing that. Sorry. I'll behave with me, Paul Andrews, and Martin White.
I'll let you off because the quality of the music today is right up my street. I'm an 80s child,
it's
really.
80s.
And
it?
I love 80s. All that. Duran. Ultravox, wasn't it? That's a brilliant album, by the way.
Absolutely, yeah. So, nice one.
Yeah, like that.
I did slip it in a bit of 70s stuff as well with a bit of Monkees. Oh. But there you go. I actually played as a spoof on a food show I did the other day, the Banana Split song, which got me going as well. I was bumping around the studio pretending to be Sneego and Snork, for those of you that are old enough to remember such nonsense. But anyway, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on campusradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 7th. We've got loads of tweets still coming in. I'm going to read a couple more. We've got cars from Kent. Hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Martin. Can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? If you want to buy or sell your car locally, carsfromkent.com. So do check that out. And Tess Kingham, Rose's Room is a new cognitive hypnotherapy for women's well-being and leadership. And we'd love a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker. Well, of course, you can have a shout-out, Tess. It's an absolute pleasure. And you can find out about them because they've got a website. And their website is Rosa's Room, RASASROOM, rosasroom.uk, it says there. I'm not sure how accurate that is. But rosasroom.uk. You could try .co.uk or .uk Limited.
I've got a couple of new listener promotions here, Paul. So I've got the lovely Leslie Dean at Escapes by Travel Designers. She has got a 5-star Mexico offer on at the moment, available for various dates in September and October 2016 from just $1,379 per person. So if you're thinking of going on holiday after the August summer rush this year, Mexico might well be the place for you. So that's Leslie at escapesbytraveldesigners.co.uk.
Fabulous. I've had a tweet, my weekly tweet, from the Organic Sisters, Caroline and Liz, Riverford_Kent. They deliver veg boxes, fruit, salad and stuff around the county. But they've said, Vanilla Web, you can find the Organic Sisters frolicking. They are frolicking at Smeeve Village Fair on the 20th of June. So do get along and watch Caroline and Liz engage in some frolicking at the Smeeve Village Fair, 20th of June. Do check that out.
Also delivering to Jules in Spain.
Yeah, apparently.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
I've got another offer here, member offer from, listener offer from Prism Alarms, and they were on a couple of weeks ago, weren't they?
They were indeed,
Derek. And just a quick reminder that they are offering a free security review for your business. So how secure is your business in terms of your business premises, for example?
Okay.
And they're offering a free security review. So that's Derek at Prism Alarms.
Somebody called Jules is apparently eating a plate of asparagus at the moment.
She's woken up,
she's had her breakfast, and she's now having a pre-brunch, after-breakfast asparagus snack.
Detoxing before the big night.
Exactly. So, thank you for that, Jules. We've also had a tweet from OASIS, and on the Twitter, they're O_A_SYS, OASIS. Vanilla Web, may we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please, for Pegasus Software. There's an event on Tuesday at Olympic Park with a barbecue lunch. So I take it that's next Tuesday. If you want to find out more about it, you can either follow Pegasus Software, which is a Twitter handle, or O_A_SYS. So do check that out. You can do one more email if you like, Martin, and then I'm going to talk to somebody sensible.
Okay. I'm not sure whether this is relevant as an FSB email, but it's about a new apprenticeship scheme.
Okay, BIS apprenticeship scheme.
Yeah,
yep.
So that's the Department for Work and Pensions and the Department for Business, Innovation and Skills have launched a new apprenticeship campaign called Get In, Go Far. Did they pinch that off you, by the way?
Get In.
You like that, don't you?
Get In, I like that. Get In.
The aim is to encourage people to see apprenticeships as a route to a career and encourage more employers to offer apprenticeships. And you can find out more information at getingofar.gov.uk. Sounds like a brilliant scheme.
Get In. Let's do it. Fantastic. Thank you for that, Martin. One last tweet for the moment. Kent tweet ups. They say, who's got Thursday the 16th of June, 10 to 12 a.m. in their diaries? It's taking place at the Crescent Turner Hotel, which is in Whitstable, and that's a free networking event. You can find out more about it by following them on the Twitter at Kent Tweet Ups. Mm. Kent Tweet Ups. But the next one's this Thursday. Next Thursday week. Mm. June the 18th, 16th. We'll get it right eventually. June the 16th, 10 a.m. to 12 at the Crescent Turner Hotel. So do check that
the
out.
The last one was brilliant, and they are fantastic at first aid as well. So if you've injured yourself on the way there, like I did last time.
Oh, I saw that picture. You cut your thumb open, didn't you?
They've got germaline, band-aids, they've got all sorts of
all
stuff.
All sorts plasters. Of stuff. Yeah. Amputated your thumb and everything. Nice one. Did you get a prosthetic thumb eventually? Anyway, enough of that nonsense. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome for the first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Adam Hutchison of Belmont Sandbanks Belmont Sandbanks Care Group. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Adam. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you and see you and hear from you on the show. Why don't you start off by telling the listener a little bit about Belmont Sandbanks?
Thanks very much, Paul. Appreciate you asking me to come on. It's great. And obviously Martin as well. Good to be here. It's been quite interesting hearing from what Mark was saying earlier when he was talking about insurance and talking about sort of industries that are sometimes seen as a little bit, maybe people aren't as educated as they need to be on it. So it's great to get an opportunity to talk about it and our business, Belmont Sandbanks Care Group. Yeah, and I've been involved now with the business for 6.5 years,
right.
Family business since 1991, heavily focused on continuity for care for people over 55, suffering with dementia, Parkinson's, various ailments. And we operate care homes, local care business, community care outreach program.
Right.
We offer, you know, dementia support, care for people in their own homes, very much focused in Romney, part of Kent. That's where we've been for, well, yeah, since 1991 originally when it was set up.
Okay, so you do a range of things and a range of services and a range of help that you provide to people. And I know not all of this is based in your homes, because as you say, you do home care for people as well and lots of other things. But how many homes do you actually operate?
Well, at the moment, we operate four. Right. So we have three in Kent, and then we have a daycare service as well and a home care outreach service. And then we also have a home business over in Hastings in East Sussex.
Okay.
So we purchased over there sort of 2010, 2011 as an additional county, but the majority of our business and our approach to business has been in Kent, and it's been you know the changes that we made have been very successful.
Now, I might be taking a flyer here.
Oh no, it's all right. Let's do that.
You don't sound like a Kent man.
No. Long story, but no, I'm a West Midlands boy, sadly. So I'm from a small town.
Yeah, nothing Greenwich. Wrong with that.
I know, yeah. I've done my best to sort of iron it out, but no, I'm originally from Redditch in the West Midlands. Yeah,
okay. We've got another Peaky Blinder on the show.
exactly. Yeah,
but we had Beverly Knight on last week. Didn't
yeah, she's from Wolverhampton. Yeah,
I'm nowhere near as cool as the Peaky Blinders, I'm afraid. That is where I'm from originally. Yeah, but in the West Midlands, but through the business, ended up being in Kent and New Romney of all places.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's have an explore of the care market as it is today.
Absolutely, that's great.
Because you've made reference yourself to, you know, there are some operators in the marketplace that have given the industry a bit of a bad name for one reason or another. Of course, that, you know, we should never tar everybody with the same brush, because that's ridiculous. And of course, the kind of services that are being provided across the board, not just by Belmont Sandbanks, but a range of providers, is crucially important. And as we get older, and as you know, these kind of things afflict us, and we've just seen that with the passing of Muhammad Ali, a man that suffered with Parkinson's for 30 odd years, it can afflict anyone. You know, these kind of things we need, and our health service can't cope with a lot of this kind of stuff. So we really are dependent on organisations like you to help us out. So give us a bit more background to the kind of services that you provide and how it actually works. And I know that's a very broad question, but, you know, let's start attacking it one bit at a time.
But it's a really good question, because I think one of the things in, it is about is the presentation and the way that people actually and the perception of the industry. Mm. I mean, I got involved, in all fairness, when my father was involved in the business. He decided that he was actually looking to sell the business and right. retire, and I was coming down to help him do that, because my background isn't within the healthcare initially. But being involved in it, you get a real passion and a principle for the services that, yeah. that are provided. And I think it's always the way that bad press travels a lot faster than good press. And
absolutely.
And it's really important that people understand actually it's about companionship, it's about support, and it's actually about what is the right services that people need mm. when they're in that position in life.
Yeah.
It may be due to an illness, or it may just be because it is down to companionship, and it's about understanding, well, what services are available to me and my family members. Is it care in my own home? Is it more of a community service or a day service where somebody meets with different people a couple of days a week, or even one day a week? Or is it to be involved in excursions whereby actually it's a group of excursions going out? And that's where the our business has evolved, because right. you know, a lot of businesses are just seen as it's a care home.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I was keen to really do as we've grown the business and changed it, what it does is create this continuity of care. So it's around, we offer multiple value added services to a family. It used to be called Belmont Sandbanks Care Homes, and I was very keen to remove the homes and put group on purpose, because it's not about a care home. It's about actually it's a care environment. How can we support your family, and how we work with each individual family and find out what is the best services that we can offer in a local area for them.
I really love this, and I love what you're saying. And funnily enough, it matches entirely in a completely different way, but entirely what Mark was saying earlier about the brokerage business in insurance. And I was having a rant when you first arrived at the studio. Not Adam. Adam just had the temerity to park outside the studio while I was in full rant about politicians and so on and so forth. One of the things that I'm really liking about what I'm hearing is this human side of business, whether it's in the insurance business or looking after people with issues. We've got to become more human-based in things. You know, for too long, our institutions, our organisations have been very top-down, and they try to institute one-size-fits-all rules to suit people. And people don't work like that. You know, each of us as an individual has an individual set of needs. And one of the things I'm loving that I'm hearing from you is that you're recognizing that, and you're providing services based on an as-needed basis for people, rather than just saying, tell you what, your dad's gone a bit funny, stick him in. Talking of which, I've just had a tweet from my son that who threatens to put me in a home every time I don't send him money, so which reminded me. But, you know, we used to do that kind of thing, didn't we? We'd just chuck someone away virtually, and that was it. You know, they'd see out their end of a life somewhere, and it either worked or it didn't. What I'm loving hearing from you is the fact that you are treating this in a holistic way and in a human way.
Yeah, and there is many businesses across the country that work in that way, and again, it's about that presentation and perception that I was talking about earlier. It's about people understanding what it involves to do and operate in this industry. The staff that we employ have a great deal of compassion, and you know, our business wouldn't operate without it, because we're heavily staff reliant, because in the nature of what we do, we have to be, and we have to make sure that they're supported and that families are supported as well, because it's almost an element of grief. It's an early part of grief, because it's almost the letting go of a family member, so we have to very much be part of that process, which is why we decided to go for a continuity to our business, rather than saying, oh, we're care home and that's all we do, because actually it doesn't work like that anymore. Martin and I were having an off-air conversation earlier about the whole social selling element, you know, about how companies engage with their clients and how companies engage with new businesses, and it is all about people understanding what we do for a business and then making their own decision on whether that's value to them. And we're exactly the same. Obviously we deal with different types of clients. We deal with people who fund their own care in our environments, and we also deal with those that fund socially from the county councils, but they're still we still take the same approach to those people that come. What is the right care for them? And sometimes we would say, actually, they don't need to come in. We can support them at home, and actually they can still have that family environment. So let's go down that road. And the bad press outweighs that positivity about if people could see and come into care homes all over Kent. So I actually work with a lot of them, with another hat on, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah.
Is when you actually go in and you can see the positivity and the value that it adds to people's lives and seeing them re-engage. We have testimonial after testimonial of whereby family members have actually said that about what we do, and we really pride ourselves on that.
Adam said something that I thought was really powerful earlier. Yeah. He said, you know, when you walk into a care home, the acid test for him is, would I be happy? Would I be more than happy to leave my sick or elderly relative in the care of that particular home?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then you walk out.
Basically. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was talking about it before. It's in the CQC, which is our regulators now, but I've talked about it for a while. I've always called it the mum test.
Right.
And it was just every time I go into my homes, it's always about having that hands-on approach. You know, I will eat the food as everybody else would eat from our kitchens. So I won't, you know, because I want to make sure that if they're eating it, I'm eating it. Yeah. There shouldn't be any differential in it. And, you know, making sure the environment's right, the car park, the approach when everyone comes in, what does it look like? Is the gardens white? Because people want to go outside. All of these things are vitally important because it's that image of your business.
Yeah.
You know, it's slightly different in that we won't have your website, can't sell it. People actually have to physically come and see you.
Yeah.
And it's getting in touch with those people to make sure that they see that offering that we have and make sure that they're going to feel comfortable with, yes, actually, this is where I believe that a member of my family will actually have value in the rest of their life with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what's the most important thing for me.
Absolutely.
Because there has to be a huge amount of guilt, you know, rightly or wrongly, associated with having to take such a difficult decision.
Yeah, sure.
When it comes to a relative,
I think Adam kind of started to touch on that as well in terms of how they handle that, you know, and recognising that it is more than just the actual individual that's going to be living in the home that you have to accommodate here. You know, you do have to make members of the family comfortable with what's going on. You do have to have a relationship that says, you know, da 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 da. I've no idea if this happens in your environment, but in some other environments, I've had members of my family in an institution of one kind, and they won't, because that member of the family is over 18. They go, "Well, we're not telling you about it. It's, you know, it's down to them." And I go, "Yeah, but they're not capable of making the decision. I've got to make the decision for them. So you've got to talk to me." "No," and you really, really. So I really do get where you're coming from with this element. I really do like what you're saying. I want to touch on something which could be a bit contentious here, I don't mean to be contentious, but I want to talk about it, because in your industry in general, not necessarily Belmont Sandbanks, but in general, this is an issue, which is recruitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of explore that a little bit, because healthcare in general, as a general industry, is a massive growth industry. It has been growing for a long time, and it's going to grow more and more and more. It is one of the biggest employers nowadays in the UK, but it can be difficult to employ people.
It can be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It can be difficult to employ people. And again, going back to it, presentation and perception of what you're doing. And I think there is a bad press around what the job entails. But like I've said, our business wouldn't operate without the wonderful people that we employ.
Absolutely.
You know, we employ just under 100 people at the moment, which is a lot of people to make sure that the positive environment, making sure that they're enjoying what they're doing, making sure that they are, you know, remunerated correctly for those roles. And that's what's really important. And there is bad press around whereby businesses haven't paid correctly or haven't done mileage and all that sort of stuff. And that doesn't help.
Yeah.
But it is difficult because, again, it's a stigma around what they're doing, which are why I think the role really, it is about compassion, and it is a job that people choose to do because they want to add value.
Yeah.
And they genuinely enjoy enjoy doing it. And I suppose that's the difficulty. You're looking, those people really want to do it. And it's looking for a different type of person. So it's not really carte blanche where you go out and then lots of people will apply.
Yeah.
So it becomes very much a community thing, which is why when we have homes in specific areas, and we tend to really engage and recoup very locally.
Yeah.
And it tends to be a lot of people that we've got people that have worked with us for over 20 years.
Mm.
So we have people who stay within the business, which we're really, really proud of. Our staff turnover is very low for the industry, as a standard. But it is about making sure that you offer the right environment, because you have to remember it isn't a high paid industry, and we hold our hands up to that.
Mm.
But you have to then make sure that the environment that they're in is right. You know that we're flexible with hours. We support people with their family commitments. We work with them on their development and their education. I mean, one of the key things that I'm a huge advocate for is internal development,
right.
And that's where we've really had a stronghold in terms of in our industry. Is that all of my managers are from within.
Right.
I never recruit externally. They're all developed from within, go through, you know, higher education programs, develop to a role where they're not. So, and two of our homes, our one in Hastings and one of our ones in New Romney, both of our registered managers, so technically our most senior position other than our general manager and myself, were care assistants 5 years ago.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, there was, you know, I say, it's a bit harsh to say, but you know, they were bottom of the ladder, and now they're top of the ladder in 5 years,
right.
And that was because it was a commitment for me that I felt that that's the way forward, because you bring new people in with 20 years of that's how they've done it in their home.
Yeah, sure.
This is how I want to run my business in this way, and I think it's actually quite different to how a lot of these businesses are run, and I think that's just because of the history of the industry, sadly.
Absolutely. And
you answer your question.
Yeah, no, it does absolutely. And it's one of those things that fascinates me when you talk to people. It is a perception issue, and people have started to get the wrong perception. But again, in a completely different context, I was ranting earlier about this as well, is about how people don't logically think through their position on anything. And working in your industry is about empathy, compassion, healthcare, support, humanness, people. And yet so many people go, oh, you know, I hate my job. It's all about numbers and I have to work in this. I have to deal with a bunch of idiots to do that. And you go, okay, well, why don't you work in a job where you don't have to do that? And I go, well, I wouldn't do that. You know, and you think, actually, if more people understood what the role was about and understood the job and understood the absolute joy that you can get in working in one of those environments. And that may sound really weird that you can, get absolute joy. But surely if you're the type of person that likes other people, then working day to day helping someone should bring you joy as well.
But people just realize that too late in life, don't they?
I mean,
you know, that they, you know, you look back on your life and you know, the number of people that say, I wish I'd done this, I wish I'd done that. But,
yeah.
I mean, just picking up on that, I mean, money and sort of salaries are always a kind of a negative, are always negatively perceived within the care home sector. But is that the case, Adam? I mean, your care home managers, you know, for example, do they earn a decent wage compared to what they might be able to earn outside of that industry?
Once you get to a management level, yes, you know, it is of a decent level. The regulation is so high what we have to do. You know, we're regulated by the Care Quality Commission, which is the same as dentists, the NHS, hospitals, doctors, surgeries. You know, it's that we're regulated by the same people. So the amount of paperwork and legislation they have to understand to be able to deliver, and they also have to have a certain qualification. You know, they're not allowed to manage unless they have these certain qualifications that we have to put them through.
Mm-hmm.
So we remunerate. Well, I personally, we like to remunerate well for that and have a support system internally to help them with that, including sort of various extra benefits, because I'm quite a big advocate for sort of employee benefits and employee sort of incentives, because it was funny that you were saying a moment ago about with jobs, and both Paul and Martin both mentioned it about people not wanting to do this. Well, why don't you just change? I had a similar thing, you know, and I've got this something in my head where I say, if I go to bed on a Sunday night and I don't want to get up on a Monday morning, I change what I'm doing.
Mm.
And I used to run call centres in the telecoms industry, and now I do this. So, and I love what I do.
Yeah.
And it was that decision to change, coming into it and actually experiencing it and thinking, actually, I really want to be involved with these people. I love running businesses, and this is a great way to add value and run what is a very technical business, because you have to take in all facets, construction, finance, you know, a lot of staff employment. So there's so many different elements to it that make it such an interesting industry to be in, which is why I'm in it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you know what? It's one, another one of my personal bêtes noires is this. One of the things that drives me nuts is people that say, do something that you love. Okay. No. You're not going to do something that you love, because currently what you love, yeah, is either playing football or driving fast cars, and you ain't going to do either of those. It's a daft statement if you think about it, if you say to young people, do what you love. You can't. But the thing is learn to love what you do is the thing, and that may take a bit of experimenting. You may have to change jobs a couple of times. You may have to change careers. You may have to change your work experience. But eventually you will find something that suits you, and... talking about low pay, but low pay isn't really a deal either, in my opinion. Everyone has to start somewhere, mm-hmm. yeah, no matter where you work. You know, so Sir Tim Leahy, who recently retired as the chief executive of Tesco's, actually started as a shelf stacker, mm-hmm. yeah, on the lowest pay that you could possibly imagine. You need to gain experience, and people aren't going to pay through the nose if you've got no experience. So in any industry, not just in care, in any industry you will find similar, you need to get into an industry, enjoy it, start to learn from it, and then grow within it.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, once you grow within it, there's all kinds of rewards. Some of them are financial. A lot of them are the kind of benefits that you've said. And one of the big things is doing a job that you thoroughly love and enjoy and makes a difference. Mm. So, interesting. I want to just move on now, if I may, Adam, because you're quite involved also with the Kent Care kind of network of people involved in this industry. Yeah.
It's one of my funny statements around whenever I talk to people in and out of the industry, that it's unique, the care industry, is that we actually probably closer to our competitors than we are to our clients. And when I say clients, I don't mean the people we look after. I mean the local authorities who fund the care.
Right.
Because actually, we've worked really hard over the last years to create a collaborative network of providers to improve services, improve business strategy, help with marketing, help with sort of social media, because it's been so important to advertise the good things that people are doing within care. So as part of that, we amalgamated what was the Kent Care Homes Association, the Kent Community Care Alliance, and the Kent and Medway Care Association. And we brought them together to create what's known as KICCA, or the Kent Integrated Care Alliance. And essentially what that is a care association of over 200 providers now across Kent, offering every possible care service to every support group, whether that's in volunteer sector, whether that's learning difficulties, elderly like myself. And we have a board that we operate, and we meet every 2 months, and then we have members forums. I write a weekly one. It's actually now virtually a two daily at the moment blog on the website. And at the end of this month, at the start of July, fingers crossed, I'm going to be starting the first health and social care podcast, you know, where we'll be talking to suppliers and various different owners across Kent and nationally within our network, just talking about the industry, trying to again improve the image of it. But essentially it's there as a business support to help people within this industry, or people that want to get into it, or people that are across the board from management all the way through to owners, to really find out about what the industry is and engage people on a local and a national level about what happens in care. And we do a lot of lobbying with local and central government. So I spend a lot of time talking with Kent County Council about their structure and how their, what they call transformation program, is going to work within Kent, and how businesses can engage with the social care side of thing. Because I think that the business part of this industry had started to dissipate, and I've said this to a lot of people, and I think that's because there's not many people like me, and I, you know, because I'm a younger person in this industry, and a lot of people say that to me.
And you've come from the outside. You've come Correct. From a business world outside, which brings corporate a different perspective on some of the things you're doing, and I totally get that. Yeah.
From a marketing, you know, when we go back, we've talked about social media, and we've had some tweets from it earlier on today. You know, hardly any care industry businesses were really doing that until 2 or 3 years ago, and then that is a really great place for people having a Facebook page, a Twitter location, that they can say, look at what we're doing in our home today, some video content to say, look at these amazing things that our staff are doing, and really show that engagement, and it really gives something back to the staff as well. So yeah, the Kent Integrated Care Alliance is all about that engagement and supporting other businesses, because there are great Chamber of Commerce and all sorts of things out like that, that are out there for all types of businesses. But I personally felt that there wasn't something specific for care businesses, and I felt they got lost a little bit because they had so much interest. Yeah. I just felt that there's something needed to be within Kent, and I'm the vice chair, and Anne Taylor is the chair, and she's been involved in the care industry for 30 years in Kent, and that's really helped increase a great network of people in Kent.
Okay, cool. Martin?
I just wanted to ask Adam about apprenticeships and whether or not apprenticeships are seen as an important kind of first rung on the ladder for people considering a career in the care industry.
That's great, fantastic question. And actually, it's funny, I only tweeted last week because we've just taken on two apprentices, and we're working with KTA at the moment, and we're developing an apprenticeship program internally. So we've just taken on one as a healthcare assistant, because I don't like the word carer. I think healthcare assistant, you know, I want people to understand that it is actually, you know, a very, very important job in what happens in our business and in our administrative team in our business administration. So we've just taken on two as a pilot for both of those, as we look to then look at apprenticeships as being a long-term process for bringing people in, because we have to to work in our industry, you have to have the MVQ level 2 and level 3, and whatever you do, it's part of our regulations. So we have to go through that program, everybody that works with us. So why not access the apprenticeship scheme? And it's helped, especially because we're in Shepway with the Shepway regeneration scheme.
Absolutely.
That we're working with Richard Morell in terms of giving us access to, you know, grants to be able to help support that with the financing the courses.
And it sounds like you're writing your own training program specifically for the business as well, which is brilliant.
Fantastic. We do. We have a development program internally, like I said, and two of our managers are already on that, and we have deputy managers that are currently going through the program. And then we've got what we call our induction process, which is very much linked to the care certificate, which is a skills for care guidelines, but we've, you know, sort of created our own internally because it's better to manage it that way. But it really adds something that people can get their teeth into. It challenges them. We allow people to do the work in-house as well, so it means that they're not having to take extra work away and you know, very link it into our training programs. Yeah, it's very important.
We could talk about this forever and ever and ever. Fascinating topic, fascinating approach to the business. Love what you're doing, Adam. If we want to find out more about Belmont Sandbanks Care Group, how do we do that?
Yeah, well, we're on Twitter at Belmont Sandbank is our Twitter handle. No S because I ran out of letters. And it's our website, www.belmontsandbanks.co.uk. There's a blog on there and our Facebook page. You can link from that. And then, obviously, the Kent Integrated Care Alliance as well, if you don't mind mentioning that.
Yeah, of course.
www.kica.care. And again, we're on Twitter as @KickerCare, and we're very active with our blog and our tweets on there as well about the industry.
Fantastic. Adam, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Punk Show. Fascinating insight into the care industry. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Adam Hutchison, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cool. We need to do the FSB roundup. I've got a bazillion tweets still coming in. I've got a bazillion emails still to read. I've got a local one here, as Adam is fairly local, so I thought I'd read this as well. DDHG have tweeted, have a look at the RomneyMarsh.net. That's a website, the RomneyMarsh.net. All you need to know about the Marsh. And then they've said, shout out Shepway and Business Funker. And that's from DDHG14 on the Twitter.
I've got one here from the lovely Joanne Frey at Harlequin, and they are a managed IT services provider. I met Joanne recently at Moosley Mafia, and she just says, hi Business Bunker, we'd love a shout out on your show please, so consider yourselves shouted out.
Yep, hello Joe. I'm meeting Joe in a couple of days time actually, so yep, looking forward to that. We've also had a tweet from GSI Commercial. We love the Business Bunker Show. Please can you give us a shout out for us? We're in commercial insurance as well. So, thank you for that. The lovely folks at Telcare, telecoms company, obviously were listening to,
Has Lisa not gone off on her ride yet? When is that? Lisa, tweet us, when is your ride?
I'm not sure when her ride is, yeah. Anyway, the Telcare are the telecoms company based over there on the Medway City Estate at Rochester, and are the providers of the technology that makes this radio station work in terms of our telecoms. So, big hello to them.
She's about to head off to Cambodia, isn't she?
Yeah, Thailand. She's doing it. F Keys, Alex Waterson, offering a free Microsoft Office user skills assessment for businesses of 10 plus admin staff. If you want to find out more, follow them on the Twitter at F Keys, or you can call them on Medway 01634 512 345. So give them a call now. That's Alex Waterton at F Keys, and Alex is absolutely brilliant at Microsoft Office products and helping you and supporting you.
I've got a lovely one here, Paul. The Junior England Ballroom Champions, for all you Strictly fans out there, are returning to dance at the Leeds Castle Classical Concert. Sorry, so that's Max and Katie on Saturday the 9th of July. And they'll be doing a waltz to the classic song Moon River. More info and to book tickets, leedscastleconcert.co.uk. What a nice one.
The fabulous Peter Cook from the Academy of Rock has tweeted me a really massively, fantastically interesting tweet. It says, business lessons from Guns N' Roses' former manager, right? announcing a major new partnership with Vicky Hamilton, who's the former manager of Guns N' Roses, Poison and Faster Pussycat. And she's also a management consultant. And Peter has teamed up with Vicky to offer some work. Now, you need to find out more about it. And the way to do that, he's given me a link to LinkedIn, which I can't see. So the easiest way is to follow Peter on the Twitter. And his Twitter handle is Academy of Rock. So do give him a follow and find out more about Peter and his collaboration with Vicky Hamilton, the former manager of Guns N' Roses.
I bet that's interesting.
Yeah. Laura Burton Lawrence has tweeted, thoroughly enjoying the Business Bunker show, busy putting my next magazine together to print this week, and there's thunder brewing in the background.
Oh, God.
Blimey, is that a type of tea?
I've left the washing out.
Did you get that? Did you get that? Oh, sorry.
If you are a business owner and you are struggling to see the wood for the trees, then help might be at hand. Terry Botfield is offering a free consultation where he will sit down with you over a cup of coffee and talk about the issues that you're facing in your business, completely free of charge, to find out if he can help you. And the best way to get in touch with Terry is through the Twitter at TDBotty, or it's the email at terry@botfield.net.
I'd just like to give the big shout-out to Peripety Film. That's Peripety, P-E-R-I-P-E-T-Y, underscore film, F-I-L-M. And they are part of BOV TV5, BOV TV5, which is another Twitter handle, and I happen to know, because I just happen to know, because he was rude to me, is that BOTV is the Bristol Old Vic Theatre TV company, and Peripety Film is one Stuart Andrews and his mates, who are currently making a film in Bristol. So they've sent me some Boys and Their Toys pictures on Twitter of them currently making a film. So go, Stu. Go, guys from Peripety Film. Do follow them on the Twitter. Peripety Film, P-E-R-I-P-E-T-Y underscore film. That's Stuart and the guys from the Bristol Old Vic Theatre TV unit. We got dozens more tweets. So I'm not going to be able to read them all because it's that time in the show again when...
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show again when we do the Federation of Small Business News Update. The Women in Business Lunch is taking place in association with Base Point Dartford. And it's a bi-monthly networking event for ladies in business. And the spaces are unlimited to allow for effective roundtable discussion and for room for me. Not. And the next one is taking place next Tuesday, June 14th, and it's from 10 till 12, and it's at the Base Point Victoria Road, Dartford. The programme is 10 a.m. arrival for informal networking over tea, coffee and pastries. 10:30 welcome from Deborah Turner, who is the FSB champion for women in business. And then Michelle Cagey, who is the Base Point Dartford centre manager. There's a roundtable discussion, 11:30 networking, and then it all ends up at 12. If you want to find out more about it, you can do that by going to the Kent Business Radio website and click on the FSB tab, and all the details and the booking pages are all listed there.
We haven't mentioned the EU referendum today.
We haven't.
But I just wanted, in the context of the FSB and FSB News, the FSB website is a fantastic resource for podcasts, for example, for interviews. They're also putting FSB members in front of the cameras and on radio. So if you are in search of and in need of more information, I can't possibly believe that's true, but if you want more information about the EU referendum and hopefully some unbiased, objective opinion, then the FSB website is probably a fantastic
Or if you want a biased opinion, you can ask me. I'm going to talk about the EU referendum in a moment because I've got a special programme going out tomorrow. Back to the FSB news. Yep. Would you like to take on a craft apprentice? Would you? If you're a traditional skills-based company, the Queen Elizabeth Scholarship Trust is seeking your thoughts on apprentices. And they've got a SurveyMonkey survey running. Quest, that is what they're known as, Queen Elizabeth Scholarship Trust's main aim is to help craft businesses grow commercially and ethically in order to sustain the traditions and skills that have been invested in and safeguarded for generations. Quest wants to ensure the longevity of traditional type craft skills to keep our key British heritage. And they have a SurveyMonkey survey running about that. It's obviously too impossible to tell you what the link is because it's a lot of old gobbledygook link. So the easiest way to do it, again, is to go to the FSB page on the Campuses Radio website and follow the link there.
I can't believe we're already talking about Small Business Saturday again.
I know.
3rd of December this year. So the FSB are now inviting applications for this year's hashtag SmallBiz100. And I believe that is the spotlight on 100 FSB member businesses that they're going to help get additional exposure for in terms of social media, local press, etc. So you need to apply before the end of this month, before the 30th of June, for a chance to be on this year's list. And you do that at smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com.
Fantastic, thank you. There's a new tech service which enables you to opt out of marketing calls, launched for mobile phone users, and can handle a simple, free text message to opt out of unsolicited sales and marketing calls, and that's available as of today. The text-to-register service was launched by the Telephone Preference Service and Ofcom and enables mobile phone users to add their numbers to the UK's official Do Not Call Me database by texting the following. You text TPS and an email address, your email address, so TPS and email address, and you text it to 78070. So you text TPS and your email address to 78070.
So all reputable businesses involved in any kind of direct marketing really should dedupe their database against the Telephone Preference Service and the Mailing Preference Service. Not everybody does. So exactly. You may still get some calls, but it should help.
Yeah, absolutely. So do check that out if it's something that you need to do.
Yeah. If, like me, you've got square wheels on your car now because you've been through that many potholes this winter.
five tyres I've had in the last 3 months. Five. One of them only a week old. Yeah.
You may want to join the FSB's campaign for investment in neglected rural roads. So they've published a report called Going the Extra Mile, which is all about connecting businesses and rural communities. There's also another fantastic organisation in Kent now, run by a lady called Lindsay Reynolds, I believe, who was on the show recently, wasn't she, Paul?
Lindsay from Kent County Council?
Yeah. Well, it's Kent Connected.
She runs the Kent Connected, yeah.
She runs Kent Connected website, which is all about ultimately helping to connect people and businesses in Kent. But the FSB are on the case as well.
Cool. Have you got one more while I just sort my Twitter out?
Yes, this is a really interesting one, and this ties in really nicely with Gemma Fairhay's workshop that she's running next week on HR, employment law, but also auto-enrolment. So the pensions regulator warns about escalating non-compliance penalties. So what we're starting to see now is a significant increase in the number of businesses that are now non-compliant with their auto-enrolment responsibilities. Fines are being levied at £50 per day, and actually for larger businesses at the rate of £500 per day. I don't know many businesses, large or small, that can afford to pay that kind of fine. So if you're not up to speed with your auto-enrolment staging date, for example, get along to Gemma's workshop next week.
Absolutely. There's still hundreds and hundreds of people that are saying, it doesn't apply to me. It does. It really does. You've got to get on top of it, and you've got no time left. There's an Enterprising Allies report coming out, Martin. The FSB released a new report this week about small business university engagement. called Enterprising Allies. This report calls for better engagement between universities and business, arguing that universities have a significant role to play in supporting their local enterprise ecosystem. The report highlights a range of other areas where business and universities can collaborate, including research and development, procurement, and to foster spin-outs. If you want to find out more about that, once again, go to the Campuses Radio website, FSB tab, and follow the link to the FSB website where you can find out more details about that scheme.
So, as well as having a fantastic range of benefits that the FSB offer, so, for example, access to legal expertise, insurance, etc., free banking. They really are, their heart is as a lobbying organisation. And I think in many ways that's what they do best. And they are lobbying central government at the moment on the issue of energy costs.
Right.
And more than a third of business owners believe that providing grants to carry out energy efficiency upgrades is the most important action that government can take to help support small businesses. So the FSB are listening and they are on the case, and hopefully they'll be making a nuisance of themselves up at Westminster.
Absolutely, yeah. Banging on some doors. I think that brings us to the end of our FSB news update for this week.
Channel Radio News Update.
I've still got dozens of emails and loads of tweets coming in. We've had tweets from Kent B2B. Thank you, Vanilla Web, and Martin and the team on the Business Bunker. Interesting interviews all afternoon on the Bunker Show. So thank you for that. Thank you for joining in. And I saw another tweet from Neville Gaunt. Neville Gaunt, great discussion on apprenticeships in care homes. Thank you, Business Bunker. Really interesting stuff. So good. Thank you for that. There's another Women in Business lunch, would you believe?
Just for women.
Women in Business lunch. Keynote speakers, Nikki Owen, FPSA, who's an international and award-winning speaker on charisma. She's an expert in charisma. And also Trish Stretton, People Face to Face. Trish is number 5 on the 2016 Fortuna 50 Index. And those two ladies are the keynote speakers at Women in Business Lunch, which is taking place at Chilston Park Hotel, that's just outside Maidstone at Lenham, on Tuesday the 21st of June. And it's 11:15 to 2:30. You can book the place. The easiest way to book it, once again, is to go to the Kent Business Radio website. We now have all the events listed on the website. It's really where it was easier than reading out all the links. So if you go to the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website and click on the business events link, you can find the Women in Business event and you can book your tickets there, find out more about the event and find out about the program.
It's a great resource, actually, isn't it? Because there's all sorts of business blogs on there as well now. So
Cascade,
for example, have published a blog all about what kind of insurance you need. So
absolutely.
If you want to follow up on some of that later on, that blog is on the website as well.
Yeah, there's a tab called SMB, which stands for Supply My Business, and they have dozens of blogs on there covering all kinds of things at the moment, from branding, talking about apprentices. We have a blog on there from a young apprentice talking about her journey as an apprentice and how she's found it and stuff like that. Some fascinating stuff on there.
Just going back to what you were saying about the Women in Business lunch, if we try to create, guys, a men-only business lunch, we'd get crucified, wouldn't we?
We would, but I don't mind. Because I wouldn't go to a men-only business lunch, but I do get invited to loads of women in business events.
You like to flirt, don't you?
I do. Yeah. It's what passes as my social life. So I go along and I chat at these things and I love them. I think they're brilliant. Me and 400 women, you know, what's not to like? You know, great stuff. I'm totally into it. If you invited me to a man-only one, I wouldn't be seen within a million miles of it.
For all you single ladies out there, Paul Andrews is available.
Exactly, yeah, and cheap, yeah. sadly, yeah. Wednesday the 15th of June. At 11 a.m. at the Base Point Dartford, networking hub, conquering barriers to business growth. Avoid the 7 barriers which can lead to the downfall of many startups and small businesses in their early years, and how to overcome them to ensure sustainability and success. Linda Garcia, she's at it again. Linda Garcia, director of Eluxi Consulting, is a seasoned business performance consultant with over 20 years' experience working with business owner managers to optimize the performance of their existing resources and to maximize profitability. Having spent the last 2 years building her own business, she brings a wealth of down-to-earth advice to move your business forward. And you can book by sending an email to hellodartford@basepoint.co.uk. hellodartford@basepoint.co.uk. Got anything left?
I'm all out.
You're all out, are you?
Yeah, I was very good today. Got through them all.
I've got some left. there's an after-hours club, and no booking required. And there's one that's actually taking place tonight, and it's back at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre, Bruno Way, Dartford, and that's this evening. And there's also one on the 9th of June at the Coniston Hotel and Restaurant in Sittingbourne. That's the Kent and Victor Chamber After Hours Club. You don't have to book. You don't have to pay. You just rock up. Rock up and drink the beer, basically. And they take place from 6pm till 7:30pm. The After Hours Club is a popular and highly successful casual networking event. The informal atmosphere and relaxed environment is the ideal place to relax and chat to fellow business people. So that's tonight at the Nuclear Business and Innovation Centre, Brunel Way, Dartford, or on the 9th of June, which will be, what, Thursday, at the Coniston Hotel in Sittingbourne, 6pm After Hours Club. What do you reckon?
I have got one, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
I wonder what the smell was.
Not an After Hours Club, but next Tuesday at Hever Castle is the Chamber, Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce Golf Day.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can't imagine that they wouldn't be able to squeeze you in if you were desperate to play in that. I've entered a team.
Have you?
Yeah, so we've got Kevin Bates joining us from Medic Healthcare. Peter Andrews from Kent Financial Management Services had to drop out, unfortunately, with cruciate ligament damage in his knee. Very painful. But we've got Ray from Raylets up in Dartford, and we've also got Gavin from St. James's Place Wealth Management. He's joining us on the day as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Next Tuesday, Chamber of Commerce Golf Day, Hever Castle. I'm sure they can still take bookings if you want to play.
That sounds fascinating. The golf isn't my thing.
You're not a golfer, are you?
No, I have played occasionally. My kids were really good at golf. Yeah. My eldest won the, many years ago, won the South of England Under 15 Weetabix Challenge and then promptly gave up golf. What? Anyway.
It won't be about golf on the day. It's a great opportunity to network and nobody's going to be looking at your golf score.
Absolutely. Anyway, I just want to tell you about something that's coming up tomorrow. Back in April, I was the compere of an EU referendum debate. And we had a panel of stayers and goers. And each panel was led by a protagonist from one side or the other. And we had Hugo Dixon, who's an author, businessman and journalist who wrote a book, Why We Should Remain in the UK, in the EU. And on the outside was Daniel Hannan, MEP. And then we had local business people on the panel from each side, and we had an audience of 300 people in Sevenoaks. If you go to the Kent Business Radio website, to the blog pages, and click on EU Special, you can hear the audio report, and I've broken it into digestible chunks so that you can digest it in easy bits. But I have to tell you, it is a brilliant debate, because there's no shouting, there's no arguing, there's no people talking over each other. There are just people expressing their views and answering the question, and it's all done very politely. And I think it's one of the nicest debates I've heard, because you can listen to both sides of the argument without interruption and without people getting upset and all the rest of it. Do have a listen to that. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk, blog pages, EU Special, and listen to the audio file of the Sevenoaks Chamber of Commerce debate that's staged in April. So
you know something big is afoot, don't you, when your local MP walks up your driveway when you're pruning the jasmine at the weekend and wants to talk to you about something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's that. And then I just want to leave you with what's coming up on the show later today. At 7pm we have... At 7pm tonight, 18 tracks of unsigned, new and up-and-coming music. And then we round off the night on channelradio.co.uk with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.